Unit 2. Values. Part 1. Pre-reading task. Listen to the recording 2 or 3 times, and then think over the following questions. 1. Who is it about? 2. What happened to him one day? 3. Do you think it was worthwhile to walk 2 or 3 miles to pay back the 6¼ cents? 4. Is the story related to the theme of the unit, values?
You have heard about Abraham Lincoln, the 16th President of the United States, haven't you? He came from a poor family, but rose to become one of the most fondly remembered presidents in his country's history. There are many stories about him. Here is one of them. When Abraham Lincoln was young, he worked in a store. As a clerk, he proved honest and efficient. One day, a woman came into the store and bought some articles. They added up to $2.06¼, or the young clerk thought they did. The bill was paid, and the woman was entirely satisfied. But the young storekeeper, not feeling quite sure as to the accuracy of his calculation, added up the items once more. To his dismay, he found that the sum total should have been only $2. "I've made her pay 6¼ cents too much," said Abe, disturbed. It was a very small sum, and many clerks would have dismissed it as such. But Abe was too conscientious to forget about the overcharge. The money must be paid back, he decided. This would have been easy enough had the woman lived just around the corner. But as the young man knew, she lived 2 or 3 miles away. This, however, did not alter the matter. It was night, but he closed and locked the store and walked to the home of his customer. Having arrived there, he explained the matter, paid over the 6¼ cents, and returned satisfied. This anecdote won him a new name, Honest Abe.
Part 2. Text A. Does being rich mean you live a completely different life from ordinary people? Not, it seems, if your name is Sam Walton. The Richest Man in America, Down Home, by Art Harris.
He put on a dinner jacket to serve as a waiter at the birthday party of the richest man in America. He imagined what surely awaited: a mansion, a Rolls-Royce for every day of the week, dogs with diamond collars, servants everywhere. Then he was off to the house, wheeling past the sleepy town square in Bentonville, a remote Arkansas town of 9,920, where Sam Walton started with a little dime store that grew into a 6 billion discount chain called Walmart. He drove down a country road, turned at a mailbox marked Sam and Helen Walton, and jumped out at a house in the woods. It was nice, but no palace. The furniture appeared a little worn. An old pickup truck sat in the garage, and a muddy bird dog ran about the yard. He never spotted any servants. "It was a real disappointment," sighs waiter Jamie Beaulieu. "Only in America can a billionaire carry on like plain folks and get away with it. And the 67-year-old discount king, Sam Moore Walton, still travels these windy back roads in his 1979 Ford pickup, red and white, bird dogs by his side, and, come shooting season, waits in line like everyone else to buy shells at the local Walmart. He doesn't want any special treatment," says night manager Johnny Baker, who struggles to call the boss by his first name as a recent corporate memo commands. "Few here think of his billions. They call him Mr. Sam and accept his folksy ways. He's the same man who opened his dime store on the square and worked 18 hours a day for his dream, says Mayor Richard Hobback. By all accounts, he's friendly, cheerful, a fine neighbour who does his best to blend in, never flashy, never throwing his weight around. No matter how big a time he had on Saturday night, you can find him in church on Sunday. Surely in a reserved seat, right? We don't have reserved seats, says Gordon Garlington III, pastor of the local church. So where does the richest man in America sit? Wherever he finds a seat. Look, he's just not that way. He doesn't have a set place. At a church supper the other night, he and his wife were in back washing dishes. For 19 years he's used the same barber. John Mayhall finds him waiting when he opens up at 7 a.m. He chats about the national news or reads in his chair, perhaps the Benton Bounty Daily Democrat, another Walton property that keeps him off the front page. It buried the Forbes list at the bottom of page 2. He's just not a front-page person, a newspaper employee explains. But one recent morning, the richest man in America did something that would have made headlines anywhere in the world. He forgot his money. I said, "Forget it. Take care of it next time," says Barbara Mayhall. But he said, "No, I'll get it." And he went home for his wallet. Wasn't that, well, a little strange? "No, sir," says Mayhall. "The only thing strange about Sam Walton is that he isn't strange." But just how long Walton can hold firm to his folksy habits, with celebrity hunters keeping following wherever he goes, is anyone's guess. Ever since Forbes magazine pronounced him America's richest man, with $2.8 billion in Walmart stock, he's been a rich man on the run, steering clear of reporters, dreamers, and schemers. He may be the richest by Forbes's rankings, says corporate affairs director Jim von Gremp, but he doesn't know whether he is or not, and he doesn't care. He doesn't spend much. He owns stock. But he's always left in the company so it could grow. But the real story in his mind is the success achieved by the 100,000 people who make up the Walmart team. He's usually back home for Friday sales meetings or the executive pep rally Saturday morning at 7 a.m., when Walton, as he does at new store openings, is liable to jump up on his chair and lead everyone in the Walmart cheer. "Give me a W, give me an A, give me an L, louder!" And louder they yell. No one admits to feeling the least bit silly. It's all part of the Walmart way of life as laid down by Sam. Loyalty, hard work, long hours, get ideas into the system from the bottom up, Japanese style. Treat your people right, cut prices and margins to the bone, and sleep well at night. Employees with 1 year on board qualify for stock options and are urged to buy all they can. After the pep rally, there's bird hunting or tennis on his backyard court. But his stores are always on his mind. One tennis guest managed to put him off his game by asking why a can of balls cost more in one Walmart than another. It turned out to be untrue. But the move worked. Walton lost 4 straight games. Walton set up a college scholarship fund for employees' children, a disaster relief fund to rebuild employee homes damaged by fires, floods, tornadoes, and the like. He believed in cultivating ideas and rewarding success. He'd say, "That fellow worked hard. Let's give him a little extra," recalls retired president Ferald F. Arend, who was stunned at such generosity after the stingy employee he left to join Walmart. "I had to change my way of thinking when I came aboard." "The reason for our success," says Walton in a company handout, "is our people and the way they're treated, and the way they feel about their company. They believe things are different here, but they deserve the credit. Ads company lawyer Jim Hendren, I've never seen anyone yet who worked for him or who was around him for any length of time who wasn't better off. And I don't mean just financially, although a lot of people are. It's just something about him. Coming into contact with Sam Walton just makes you a better person.
Language Sense Enhancement. Read aloud the following poem.
I'm Nobody. Who Are You? By Emily Dickinson. I'm Nobody. Who are you? Are you nobody too? Then there's a pair of us. Don't tell. They'll advertise, you know. How dreary to be somebody. How public, like a frog, to tell one's name the livelong day to an admiring bog.
3. Read the following quotations. Learn them by heart if you can. You might need to look up new words in a dictionary.
One should eat to live, not live to eat. By Benjamin Franklin.
That man is the richest whose pleasures are the cheapest. By Henry David Thoreau.
If money is your hope for independence, you will never have it. The only real security that a man will have in this world is a reserve of knowledge, experience, and ability. By Henry Ford.
To travel, hopefully, is a better thing than to arrive, and the true success is to labor. By Robert Louis Stevenson.
4. Read the following humorous story for fun. You might need to look up new words in a dictionary.
The elderly gamekeeper of a Scottish estate suffered from fading eyesight, and the lord of the manor offered to send him to London to see an eye specialist. Before he left, however, he was given strict instructions to spend his money thriftily and to live as he would at home. When the keeper returned a week later, he presented the lord with a bill for more than £1,000. Shocked, the lord asked what he had been living on in London. "Oh, the usual, sir," came the reply. "Pheasant, salmon, grouse, and venison."